Chapter 8. At the Police Station. For the next 3 days, I was happy to do my summer homework in the mornings. "It's nice to see you working so hard," Mom said, giving me a kiss. In the afternoons, I played games with John. I didn't tell him anything. I tried to stay near the cabin all the time, but I didn't really want to be in front of the cabin, because the man in the boathouse might see me there. My friends were frightened, too. We played with a ball, or played board games, but we didn't talk much. There was a bad feeling in the air. One night, I had a terrible nightmare. I was in my yard, playing with a ball, when someone behind me called my name. I turned and saw the man from the boathouse. He had a scary smile on his face, and he was holding a big knife.
"Someone went to the police," he said angrily. "I told you not to talk."
"I didn't say anything," I said.
"Really?" he asked. "Well, I don't believe you, and now I'm going to cut out your tongue."
I woke up shouting. I was hot and my mouth was dry. There was a glass of water next to my bed, and I drank it. Dad ran into my room. He was wearing his pajamas.
"What's the matter?" he asked.
Just a bad dream, Dad," I answered.
"Are you okay?" he asked.
"Yes, it was nothing," I answered. I didn't want to talk to him about it.
"Try to sleep," he said, closing the door.
I pulled the sheets over my head and closed my eyes, but I was awake for a long time. Finally, on the fourth day, I couldn't stand it anymore. "I've got to tell my parents," I told Leo and Richie. "I'm frightened to be in my own yard."
"I'm having nightmares," Leo said. "I can't sleep."
"I can't sleep either," said Richie. "So what do we do now?"
Leo thought for a moment. "Maybe we should tell the police. If they arrest the man, he won't be able to do anything to us."
"We should talk to our parents first," Richie said.
"That's not a good idea," Leo said. "They'll just get hysterical."
"You're right," I said. "The police will know what to do. We must go to the police station, but without our parents."
"The police station isn't that far," Richie said. "If we take the boat, we can row across the lake and get there quickly."
"Okay," I said. "I'll ask my dad for the boat."
We found Dad on the beach.
"Can we use the boat, Dad?" I asked.
"Yes, but don't forget to wear life jackets," he answered.
"Of course, Dad," I said.
"Bye."
We got into the boat and rowed quickly in the direction of the police station. Out on the lake, we felt much better. The sun was shining, and birds were flying over us. The rowing was hard work, but finally we arrived at the other side of the lake. There were many police boats there, and we tied our boat next to them. Then we climbed the wooden stairs to the police station and went inside. A policewoman was sitting at a big desk, and behind her, more policemen and women were working at smaller desks.
"I'm Officer Stevens," said the policewoman with a friendly smile. "What can I do for you boys?"
"She'll be easy to talk to," I thought. "We think we saw some criminals," I said.
Officer Stevens opened her eyes wide in surprise.
"What do you mean?" she asked.
We told her about the two men, the man in the bay and the man in the boathouse.
"Didn't you tell your parents?" she asked.
"We were too frightened," Richie answered. "The man in the boathouse promised to cut out our tongues."
Officer Stevens shook her head. "I think you've got some very important information," she said, "but you must tell it to Captain Deering. Is that okay with you?"
We all nodded. "I'll go and get the captain. Do you boys want some coke while you're waiting?" she asked.
Again, we all nodded.
Officer Stevens brought us cokes, smiled, and went to bring Captain Deering. We told the story again, but this time, the captain asked for more information about the men. We tried to remember exactly what the men looked like and what they were wearing. Then I told the captain about the signals. He was very interested in this.
"You boys have been very brave," he said, when he finished telling the story. "I'm sure it was very hard for you to come here and tell us.
Now I'm going to call your parents, because they need to know the story too. He took all our phone numbers, and seeing our worried faces, he smiled.
Don't worry, boys, he said. You've really helped us. We're going to solve the mystery of the drug ring in the area. The man in the boathouse is probably the grandson of Jack Devlin. His name is also Jack Devlin. The other man is his accomplice. If your parents don't mind, we'll ask you to identify them. You'll stand behind a special window where you can see them, but they can't see you. Then, if you give a written testimony, we'll be able to put them in prison for a long time.
Are you sure? I asked.
Absolutely, Captain Deering answered.
These men are murderers. People have seen Jack Devlin, the grandson, in many different states, but no one thought he was hiding here at the family house. The police are trying to find him. The other one from the bay is Hal Corley, a criminal from Connecticut. You boys have done a great job. Then Captain Deering spoke more seriously. Now, until we find these men, you boys must stay near home and be careful. It will all be finished soon.
Okay, we said. We were so happy about everything that when our parents came, we forgot to be frightened of their reaction. Richie's parents looked worried, but not angry, and Leo's mother was very calm. My parents asked a lot of questions, and the captain answered them all. Later, when we left the police station, Dad said, "What you did was very dangerous, Eddie. You shouldn't be investigating criminals. That's why we've got the police."
"I know, Dad," I said quietly, looking at the ground. "But you did the right thing in the end," Dad said, "and I'm very proud of you for that." Mom kissed me and said, "I agree with your father. It was dangerous. But you were so brave to go to the police. You three are good kids."